Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome all of you to worship at Seminole here on this 19th day of June. And hopefully each one of you has a worship bulletin to follow along in our liturgy this morning. I did want to call to your attention this tan slip and ask if you would pull it out. And if you would fill it out, you can drop that in the offering plate when that comes by later on in the service. There's also a place for you to write down any prayer requests that you may have. And as we've been announcing the last couple weeks in a row, the month of June is the month we hold nominations for the office of elder and deacon. And so you can see this green insert. And I do ask that you would look at the scripture passages referenced in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1 for the criteria for officers in the church, and then if you would prayerfully consider and nominate men who you think would serve well in that office. And you can turn these in to the church office, or you can drop it in the offering plate. We'll be receiving these through the end of the month of June. And then also, as a note, Pastor Keene is on vacation, and so I'm going to be filling in his place this morning. However, this afternoon, I'll be heading up to our denomination's General Assembly, and so I'll be gone all week. And as a result, ruling elder Ben Lambers is going to be on call for any pastoral care matters that may arise. You can see his contact information that is in the bulletin. And I certainly will be able to be contacted via phone or email. Though because of the activities I'll be involved in, I may not be able to respond immediately. But do feel free to contact me if you need. There's also another insert in our bulletin concerning a women's retreat that is coming up in September. And I believe this is the registration form. So you can take that. If you know you're going to be going, you can fill it out, drop it in the offering plate. You can turn it into the church office. Or if you have any questions, contact Kelly Fernandez. And we also have a number of children's activities that are happening on Wednesdays. And I believe the schedule got shifted around a little bit, and the updated information didn't get printed into the bulletin this week. I believe this week there is going to be a pool party at the home of the Williams. And so if you have an elementary age child, and that's something that you'd be able to do, contact Bob or Stephanie Williams, and they can get you that correct information, or Sarah Royer or Tammy Lang as well. And then also, our students who are going either to summer camp or on our mission trip would like to do some work to earn money to help pay for their way. And if you have any work that you might be interested in hiring a student, I'd recommend if you would either mark it on your tan slip, or you can email me directly. If you have spoken to me personally and no one has gotten back to you, I may have forgotten. And so I apologize for that. And so if that is the case, do send me a quick note and I'll be sure to follow up on that. And then also, as just a final remark for this morning as we get ready to begin our worship, the Adsett family has been with us for quite a while, and as you know, due to job relocation, they're going to be moving up to the Washington, D.C. area, and so today is the last Sunday that they'll be here with us in worship, and so we certainly send them with blessing and with prayer, and we will miss them greatly, but do be sure to come up and say goodbye. But for now, if you have any electronic devices, I ask if you would turn them off or put them in the mute or vibrate mode, and let's prepare our hearts to worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. We come now to a time of confession. If you're able, I invite you to kneel before the Lord. Father, though through faith in Jesus we've been delivered from the penalty of sin, we still war with the sinful nature inside of us. In our hearts, we delight in your law. We desire to worship, to serve, and to glorify you. Yet when it comes down to it, that's not what we do. So often we speak evil, we complain, we manipulate. We've dishonored you with our evil thoughts and words and actions. By your Spirit, would you subdue our hearts? Would you continue to deliver us from the presence of sin in our lives? And in this brief time of silence, would you receive our prayers as we silently confess our sins to you? And Father, would you hear us as we all pray together? Receive my confession, O most loving and gracious Heavenly Father. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only hope for the salvation of my soul, grant to me true contrition, so that day and night I may be sorry from the heart for my sins. Savior of the world, O good Jesus, who gave yourself to the death of the cross to save sinners, look upon me, most wretched of all sinners. Have pity on me. Give me the light to know my sins, true sorrow for them, and a firm purpose of never committing them again. Amen. We hear the words of assurance from Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you that you are our God and we are your people. We thank you that through Jesus Christ, you have given us all things. You are our hope, our refuge, and our strength. To you we flee to for safety, and to you we lift up our requests. Father, we pray for our world. We pray that the gospel would be heard in all corners of the earth, that those from every tribe and tongue and people and nation would come to seek refuge in Jesus. We ask that you would empower your church throughout the world to bear witness to your gospel in both word and deed. And we also pray for those who lead our nation, our state, as well as our city. Would you give them wisdom? Help them to be prudent and honest and fair in all their dealings. And Father, we also pray for your church. May your church rejoice in Christ's work for her, and in her, and through her. Help your church to love your word, to seek purity, to live with joy, and to be used as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And we pray for this particular congregation. May you draw us closer to one another as we draw closer to Christ. Would you give us a love for this city? And would you equip us to reach those who don't know Jesus? We also pray that you would be with our elders and deacons as they lead and serve this body of believers. Be with our members as they seek to nominate elders and deacons for service in this church. Pray also that you'd bless Pastor Keene as he enjoys vacation and time with his family. Give him rest. And Lord, we also pray for our missionaries. Be with Don and Judy Vanderplug. Be with Dave and Paige Hawes. With Steve Light. Be with the Davilas as well as the Vons who serve you in Costa Rica. Would you bless each of these and bear much fruit through them? Keep them from temptation and evil. And Father, we pray for those with special needs. We think this morning of Ken Jackson as he recovers from surgery. Would you uphold and strengthen his body, Lord? And we give you thanks for your mercy to Randy Johnson. Pray that you would continue to strengthen and heal his body. Thank you, Lord, that he is out of the hospital. Father, would you also continue to be with Alice Teachin as she continues to battle cancer through radiation treatments? Would you bring healing and a full recovery to her? And Father, would you continue to be with Dave and Pat Barden, with Marcia Craig, with Joe Donito, with Judy Dostal and Debbie Vincent as they each care for their husbands? Be with Connie Frail and Frank Frail and Ananta Rivera. Be also with Denny Michael Bedoronsky. Draw near to each of these at their specific point of need. And Father, we also pray for employment for Ken Jackson as well as for Glenda Williams. Would you provide for them? Would you bless them and strengthen their trust in you during this time? And Father, we thank you also for the Atsit family. We pray that you would bless them as they transition to Virginia. Give them safety as they travel. Would you help them to quickly find a church home where they will be each nourished by your word, enjoy fellowship, and have opportunities to serve Christ's church? And Father, we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus, always remembering that there is salvation in no one else, that there is no other name in all of heaven for people to call on to save them. And so, Father, we close by praying the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. Offertory statement comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let's pray. Loving God, we come to you with thanksgiving, knowing that all that we are and all that we have is a gift from you. Father, in faith and love, help us to do your will, to give generously and joyfully. Father, receive these gifts by your grace, multiply them, and use them for your glory and the building of your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.
Would you stand as we sing the doxology? You may be seated. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd ask if you would turn to the book of James, chapter 3. We'll be taking a few minutes to look closely at the first 12 verses this morning. And if you find them helpful, there are some sermon notes in the back of the bulletin. Perhaps when you were younger, you remember hearing the trite comeback, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." As you grow older, you surely realize how untrue that statement is. words do hurt, and they can't be taken back. Once they have been thrown out carelessly or hurtfully, words can do damage that can be devastating. Perhaps you've been hurt by the speech of others, but probably you also have inflicted great damage upon others by the words that you use. As we look at this passage from the book of James this morning, the main point is that we are to acknowledge your inability to control your tongue and therefore to humble yourself before God. James, the brother of Jesus, lays before us the destructiveness, the untameability, if that's a word, and the inconsistency of our tongues. Yet, he does not leave us without hope. There is one who can tame the tongue. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his Spirit working within us, our tongues can be marked by carefulness, kindness, and to bring glory to God. These are the themes that we're going to briefly explore this morning. But would you pray with me as we look to the Lord? Father, we do thank you for the truth of your word that pierces our heart like a sword. I pray that with your loving discipline, you would bring us to a place of repentance, of acknowledging our sin. I pray that you would give us the hope that we have through the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ. Would you strengthen us in our faith this morning? Father, would you even generate faith in the hearts of some who may not know you? And so we desire that you be glorified. May we hear your word. In Christ's name, amen. Well, James begins this chapter 3 by saying, not many of you should presume to be teachers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. This is because teaching and the use of the tongue go hand in hand. It's wise to remember Proverbs 10:19, which states, when words are many, sin is not absent. And when teachers speak carelessly, arrogantly, hurtfully, mistakenly, they hurt not only themselves, but also all of those who are under their care. A teacher's words can have a lasting effect and severe consequences. And false teaching and incorrect doctrines are easily stumbled into. And therefore, James gives a strong warning that you should think twice before becoming a teacher. Yet at the same time, this message about the words that we say is not limited just to teachers, but it's for everyone. Certainly, teachers will be judged more strictly, but everyone, as we've already heard from Matthew chapter 12, will give accounts on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. And right from the get-go in verse 2, James acknowledges that everyone stumbles and sins by what he or she says. Perhaps with a hint of sarcasm, he says, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man and able to keep his whole body in check. In other words, none of us are perfect. We all stumble in many ways, especially with our tongues. And therefore, James calls all of us to acknowledge that fact, that we all sin with the words that we speak. There's only one person who was perfect and could keep his whole body in check, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as James starts talking more about the influences of the tongue, he gives three examples, three illustrations. The bit in the mouth of a horse, the rudder of a ship, and a spark that starts a forest fire. And this brings us to our first point this morning. The tongue is powerful and destructive. The bit, the rudder, and the tongue have one characteristic in common. They are small but powerful. In other words, something small moves and controls something much larger. Have you ever seen a Clydesdale horse? They're huge. They can weigh up to 2,200 pounds, yet with a small metal bit in its mouth, even a child can direct and control that huge beast. And think about the rudder of a ship. Try to imagine for a minute the Benjamin Franklin cargo ship. Perhaps you saw it on the news a couple years ago when it came to port in Los Angeles. This was a cargo ship built in Shanghai for a French shipping company. This one single ship is a quarter of a mile long. And it can hold 18,000 containers. Think about that. As you're driving on the road and you pass a semi-truck towing a trailer, think about that trailer. This ship can hold 18,000 of those. That is huge. Yet one man sitting at the helm with just a small movement of his hand can turn the rudder, which moves that ship wherever he wants it to go. This is the comparison that James is making with our tongue. Our tongue is a very small part of our body, but yet it has so much power. Think about these sayings from cultures around the world which emphasize the power of the tongue. The Greeks have said, "The boneless tongue, so small and weak, can crush and kill." Or the Turks, "The tongue destroys a greater hoard than the sword." Or the Persians, "A lengthy tongue, an early death." Or this saying from the Chinese, "The tongue can speak a word whose speed outstrips the steed." As the bit controls the horse and a rudder controls the ship, so the tongue directs human life. For what we do most often follows what we say. The tongue is most often the interface where our heart's desires meet our actions. As Steve read earlier from Matthew chapter 12, Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Then in verse 5, James gives the analogy of a spark. This too is a very small and powerful thing, yet this analogy emphasizes the danger and the destruction that is involved. When I was a child, we had a barn that housed horses, and one of my jobs was to feed them. And inevitably, as I carried hay from the hayloft and dumped it into the stalls where the horses were, some straws of hay would fall along the way. And one day, I got this bright idea that I would light this trail of hay on fire and see what happens. Well, to make a long story short and to minimize my embarrassment and stupidity, as you can imagine, the fire quickly got out of hand. And were it not for the intervention of my neighbor, who happened to be nearby at the time, I could have caught our barn on fire and done tremendous damage. That incident scared me enough to not play with fire again. The point is that fire is destructive. A cigarette butt flicked out of the window, a campfire unattended, these insignificant sparks can produce a raging, out-of-control fire that destroys an entire forest, destroys homes, even human lives. And in verse 6, James says, the tongue is this fire. The tongue is this little spark. It is a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. By implication, the tongue is a fire that is out of control, destroying everything in its path. Proverbs 16:27 states, a scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. Incredible damage can be done with our words to everyone in their wake. James says the tongue is a world of evil among the parts of the body. The tongue is not more evil than other parts of the body, but speech is involved in almost every sin that we commit. A quick search of Psalms and Proverbs concerning the destructiveness of the tongue comes up with many descriptions of our tongue. A troublesome tongue, evil tongue, a boastful tongue, a slanderous tongue, a sinful tongue, a tongue that plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor, a deceitful tongue, a sharp tongue like a sword, a lying tongue, tongue that crushes the spirit, a malicious tongue, tongue that has the power of life and death, a sly tongue, a flattering tongue. With our words, we tell lies, we slander someone's name, we spew insults, we create conflict and division, we incite lust, and our tongue gives rise to numerous other sins. There are few sins that people commit where words are not involved. James says, the tongue corrupts the whole person. This is no different than what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 11. He says, what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. And a few verses later, Jesus says, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. Therefore, the evils of the tongue flow from the evils of our hearts. And James says at the end of verse 6 that the tongue is set on fire by hell. The tongue is a tool of Satan. How often has your tongue been used by Satan? How often does it not speak for edification or for the glory of God or for the good of your fellow man, but it speaks to destroy like a fire? Perhaps at times carelessly or unintentionally, other times purposefully with an intention to lash out and to hurt. What fires have you started by lashing out with critical and harsh words, by saying mean things about other people, by speaking with impatience and anger, by trying to be the first one to spread that juicy little tidbit of gossip, by laughing and joining along in crude and insensitive speech, by intentionally trying to tarnish someone's reputation, by manipulating others to get your way. Just a few small examples. The tongue is an awful evil. It destroys just like a wildfire. So the tongue is powerful, the tongue is destructive, but even more alarming is what James says next. And this leads us to our second point. The tongue cannot be tamed by any human person. Man can tame all kinds of animals, not just domesticated animals, but even wild animals, like birds, elephants, whales, foxes, rodents, tigers, to name a few. But no one can tame the tongue. The tongue is more powerful than a wild beast. There are no exceptions. No man can tame the tongue. James says, it is a restless evil. This imagery of the tongue is prowling around, restless, looking for something to devour. He also says it is full of deadly poison. The imagery here is like the venomous snake ready to strike, whose venom can kill with just one bite. Perhaps James was thinking of Psalm 140, verse 3, that states, they make their tongues as sharp as a serpent's. The poison of vipers is on their lips. And when we are honest with ourselves, this is what our tongues are like, untamable and poisonous. This is a picture of the destructive nature of sin, and on our own, we cannot bring it under control. No matter how hard we try, we cannot tame the tongue. Well, this should bring us to a place of despair. But nevertheless, there is a glimpse of hope. Verse 8 is worded strangely in the Greek. It seems to imply that simply among mankind, no one is able to tame the tongue. And so that begs the question, if no human can tame the tongue, then who can? James implies that we need to turn elsewhere for help. And in Psalm 141, David writes, O Lord, I call to you. Come quickly to me. Hear my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. You see, we cannot tame our tongue, but God can. The regenerating work of the Holy Spirit changes everything. We are to humble ourselves before God, to acknowledge our sin, to repent, and look to God's grace for strength. And when God does a work of salvation, it doesn't affect just one aspect of your life. It affects every single part of your life, including your tongue. And though a remnant of sin remains until Christ returns, yet with God's grace and strength and His power, we live a life of killing this corruption of our tongues. And we continually seek to be obedient to His word. We eagerly strive for these following verses to be manifested in our lives. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Or Colossians 4:6, let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Or Psalm 34:13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. This certainly will be a lifelong struggle that we have against this remnant of sin that remains in us, which leads us also to the third point, which James points out. Our third point is that the tongue is inconsistent. James reflects on our inconsistency in controlling our tongue. In verse 9, he states, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. James reminds us that we are made in the image of God, and that when we curse those who are made in God's likeness, we are indirectly cursing God. And then the illustration about the fresh and salt water, the figs and olives, show the absurdity of our inconsistency. Just like it is impossible to get olives from a fig tree, or figs from a grapevine, or fresh water from a salt spring, it should also be impossible for our mouths to both praise God and speak evil against others. Yet, as believers struggle with that remnant of indwelling sin, that's exactly what we do. We are that inconsistent. On the one hand, James scolds us for our inconsistent speech, yet on the other hand, he knows that no man can tame the tongue. Perhaps this is to lead us to cry out to the only one who can help us, which is Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of Paul's struggle with sin in Romans chapter 7. In verse 24, he concludes by saying, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." As we conclude this morning, if you do not consider yourself a Christian, perhaps you've been deeply hurt by the speech of others, perhaps even from the speech of those who consider themselves Christians. I'm sorry. It should not be that way. I tell you that Jesus can heal these wounds. But first, you must recognize that you also have inflicted great damage with your words. The tongue is powerful, a destructive, raging fire, and it cannot be tamed by any except for Jesus. And so I urge you to acknowledge the evil of sinning with your speech. Quit making excuses for it. Repent. Turn to Jesus by faith. And that's why he came. He came to save us from our sins. So find that grace in new life today. If you already are a Christian, I urge you to continue taking hold of Jesus every day. The very power that raised him from the dead is in you. And only by his Spirit working in you will your tongue be tamed. And second, be aware of your own besetting sins. These will be different among different people. Some of us may struggle with a self-promoting speech, others with critical speech, others with speech that is profane or obscene, still others with speech that is marked by slander or gossip. It's important for you to understand your own habitual struggles so that you can bring them to the feet of Jesus. And then third, humble yourself and repent often. When you realize that you've sinned with your words, don't let your pride keep you silent. Immediately, as you repent and confess your sins to our Lord, also immediately ask forgiveness from those whom you sinned against, or from those whom you've sinned in the presence of with your words. Do not delay. And finally, for those of you who already know Jesus, I urge you to spend time with Jesus by reading his word. Let his speech fill your mind, fill your very soul. And then by his Spirit working within you, may your speech be marked with carefulness and kindness and bring glory to God. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we confess that we all struggle with our words. Thank you for the grace that you offer to us through Jesus Christ. I pray that you would draw near to us, that you would lead us to the throne of grace. I pray for the strength of your Spirit to fill your people, to enable us to bless others and to praise your name, that you would be glorified through our words. Be with us, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, as we conclude our service, I invite you to stand as we glorify God by singing hymn number 345, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Well, once again, I want to thank you for worshiping with us this morning. And if you haven't done so already, please fill out that tan slip. You can hand it to one of the greeters on your way out. And then also invite you to join us for coffee and snacks in the building that's directly behind the sanctuary, as well as for Bible study for all ages, beginning at 10:45. But for now, receive the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.